I just love being able to work with the Gospel of Mark. It's so nice and straightforward. I say to you, watch. You never know when something might happen, whether it's day or night. So watch. So let's seek out some clarity with that in the context of church history, or to be more precise, a kind of history that involves the church. The history of war. There is a thing that we've had ever since we had cities. It's called siege warfare. You can't really put a farming village under siege. So this is a thing that came about once we had armies and cities with walls. And the formal definition is thus. From the Latin word to sit, siege warfare is a form of constant low-intensity conflict with one party holding a strong, static, defensive position. So that means that a siege is when you have one army outside the walls of a city or fortress, you have one army inside the city walls or fortress, the first army can't get in, the second army can't get away, and therefore they just sit there waiting for something to happen. Normally it involves one army running out of supplies or food, or the first army finding its way into the walls. All right, so that's my little educational background. Let's go back in time to the year 845 AD. At this time, Christianity controlled most of Europe, but there were still non-Christian attackers, you know, here and there. And one constant enemy that we always had to deal with were the Vikings, who were not Christian. So in 845, 120 Viking ships, so that's several thousand Viking warriors, snuck their way up the major rivers of France and laid siege to the city of Paris. And it didn't take long for them to break the defenders. It was not a long siege. And they invaded the city on Easter Sunday. Yeah. Not good. And they were there for a while, just doing what Vikings do, pillaging and you know, raiding, until the French paid them a ton of money to go away. This is all very sad. And as far as I can tell, it was not the fault of the watchmen. All right, the invaders were so overwhelmingly powerful, keeping watch, like Jesus tells us in the gospel, probably wouldn't have made all that much difference. Sometimes you lose before the game begins. And by the way, the Vikings also, on the way to and from the city, attacked some helpless monasteries along the way, because that's what Vikings do. Kind of makes you wonder where God was in all of this. But the story doesn't end there. Because a plague hit Paris during the siege, and the Vikings took it home with them. And this plague did those Vikings a great deal of damage until one of their Christian prisoners, Vikings took prisoners, by the way, they told them that if you pray and fast for mercy, God will hear you. The Vikings, out of ideas, gave it a try, and sure enough, the plague subsisted. And as the story goes, the leader of the raid was Ragnar. It's a good Viking name, Ragnar. He apparently was boasting to everybody about how easy he conquered Paris, showing off his, you know, mountain of loot. And with tears in his eyes, he said the only resistance he found was that of a long-dead saint. And he was talking about Saint Germain of Paris. One of the monasteries they attacked was built in his honor. So, out of just awe and thanksgiving for just the effect these Christian prisoners had on them, once the danger of the plague went down, all the Christian prisoners of the Vikings at that time were released. And the story doesn't end there, because back in Paris, to be fair, the Vikings didn't just stop attacking then. They didn't have like this instantaneous conversion or anything. But the survivors back in Paris learned their lesson. They knew the Vikings would be back in all likelihood, and they kept watch. They rebuilt, the Vikings came back, and the city walls held, and the city was successfully defended, against the largest Viking force that ever attacked Paris in history. And that was only 40 years after the siege of Paris in 845. Sorry, but I find all of this fascinating, because this is the stuff that allows the Catholic Church to keep surviving throughout history in spite of being surrounded by enemies and invaders at all times. Why would a Viking king talk about a Catholic saint as they were the greatest resistance they met? That makes no sense, all right? Vikings, Viking warriors, believe in strength and blood and not much else. But the strength of a true saint and the piety of a saintly people is very hard to ignore. Saintly people have a tendency to be victorious when all seems lost. And it's because saints and saintly people know how to keep watch. They know to keep watch before the battle and during the battle, and in the case of the siege of Paris, after the battle. Yes, like those Christian prisoners in the Vikings' homeland, they kept watch for Christ at work in their lives. All right? They invaded the city on Easter Sunday. Total mockery of religion, if there ever was one. I'm willing to bet a lot of people in Paris gave up on Jesus that day. Can't say I blame them. But we are called to keep watch for Christ at work in our lives. Even when it seems like the battle is over and the deal is done, nothing's done. Nothing is done when Christ is active. The siege of Paris was a terrible thing, but those Vikings paid dearly for their bloodlust. The wicked got what was coming to them until their Christian prisoners showed them a better way. And those survivors in Paris, they kept watch after the battle. They had children and they had grandchildren, and those grandchildren were attacked by Vikings in a very similar way, and they won. They won, and the city remained safe. So in light of that, parents and grandparents, I have just one question for you today. What would you go through for the sake of your family? If it meant the safety of your grandchildren in the future, would you march into battle? Would you take your chances with the horror of siege warfare? Would you let bad people steal every last dollar from your house, knowing that your grandchildren would never have to put up with something like that because of you? I have to believe the answer is yes, Father Justin, to all of the above. If it means a better world for the next generation, bring it on. That is Christ's message today. Keep watch. I mean, sure, keep watch for Vikings if you think it'll help. Keep watch for Christ. Keep watch for Christ at work in your life. Keep watch for the chance to add holiness into the world. Keep watch for your chance to resist the forces of darkness and evil when they come knocking. And come knocking they will. Keep watch. For the sake of the weak, the helpless, and those who will come after you, keep watch.